Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on February 20th, 2013. I never used to announce the date at the beginning, but Blog Talk Radio advised me to do it, and I thought it was a good idea. And I do it anyway. Anyway, let me get on with the show. I got a note via LinkedIn the other day. It was from a nice guy in Pakistan. The subject heading was Procurement Job Opportunity in Canada. He wrote, "Hi, Animal. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for accepting my invitation." That was on LinkedIn. "I'm currently working with a well-known American company," he named it, "in Pakistan as Assistant Manager Procurement. Reason I wanted to add you to my network is to get in touch with you to discuss job opportunity. We'll really appreciate if you can help me in this regards. Thanks and have a great day." You know, there were a few grammar mistakes there, but on the whole, it wasn't a bad note, except that this guy doesn't know anything. He doesn't know how anything works. He doesn't indicate that he has landed immigrant status in Canada, so does he imagine I'm going to go out and get it for him? Yeah, I don't know anything about immigration, and the guy's an assistant procurement manager. I mean, it's not an astronaut. Does he think some local company is going to go and bring a guy from Pakistan to do that job instead of finding somebody here? I also pointed out to him that once he's here, his professional designations might not be valid, and he'll have to take courses to upgrade them. And I also told him, I'm almost done, that companies pay recruiters for people with specialized experience. And one of the things these companies want is local experience, and they won't pay a recruiter for someone who doesn't have any local experience. It might be hard for him to get a job without a recruiter for that reason, but they're not going to pay me to hire him. You know, when I tell this to other people in the past, they say, "But look, I'm working for an international firm." And I say, "You know what? The companies here, they don't care." Yeah, so all you job hunters out in the international market, I don't blame you for wanting to come here. I like it here. I'm glad my family came here. But you can't overestimate the marketability of your overseas experience. It might serve you well in the long run. You might be very successful eventually, but at first, it's not going to be as attractive to employers, boy, as you think. And I'm sorry to be a wet blanket, but sometimes we are wet blankets on Jerry! What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! That's it. That's all I got. Ran out of air.
Boy, what happened to you there?
Oh, they had some type of dry, nibbly chip deal earlier, and it was like,
you know what? I told you not to eat during the, you know, before the show starts. I heard you breathing.
I know, but
I was almost
done with the bag.
I mean, it sounded like someone was strangling. If they wanted to come to a horror show, this was the right place. But you're scaring my guests away.
Was hurt on the job. Do I get workers' comp?
You know what? You weren't operating the machine properly, Jerry. That's your fault, okay?
Good call.
You know, speaking of that kind of stuff, I had a big problem this weekend. I should warn you right now, I spent most of this long weekend, it was a long weekend here, barfing, okay? And I'm not better yet, so I'm just warning you, if I have to step away for a while, you might have to.
I will handle it.
Okay. Now, let's see, is our guest here, Michael Heller, speak your mind.
How are you today, Animal? Glad to be here.
I'm good, but you're not. You are not on a good phone. Let me say that right from the start.
Is this better? Does that work better?
What kind of phone are you on? Do you not have any money? Are you under a bridge?
Give him a shot, man.
This is an iPhone 5.
I told you, use a landline, okay?
Dude, people don't have landlines anymore.
He's got one. He's in Washington. He's in an office. You have a landline, don't you?
I do. Do you want me to dial back
in? Hang up and call me back.
You got it.
Animal, the guy sounded fine.
Not to me.
You're overreacting.
I know better than you.
Dude, this is an international show.
People all over the world
heard you just tell the guest to shove it and call back on something else.
Okay,
that's
Jerry,
embarrassing.
You know what? I got a letter from an international candidate yesterday.
Heard
Does that
about
mean
it.
It's good?
International is the new national.
Yeah, all right.
It's an international world now, Animal.
Okay, so listen what I did with this LinkedIn. I went to LinkedIn after I got that letter, and I already have information at the bottom of my profile telling people I can't find them jobs. I moved it right up under my summary, and this is what it says. It says, I get lots of mail from job hunters. However, if you're a job hunter outside of North America, I can't help you. And then I put number two, third-party recruiters work for companies looking for specialized people. They do not work for job hunters. So if you write me looking for a job, I won't be able to help you unless by pure coincidence I happen to be searching for someone like you at that time. Is that too cold?
You could almost even summarize that even a little bit further.
How
with just,
should I say?
Hey, everybody, and then two letters, F. Oh.
Okay, is our guest back?
I'm back. If this is worse, I'm not dialing back in.
It's not worse. It's not perfect, but it's not worse. What do you
think?
There
is no way to tell the difference right now.
Thank you. An advocate. I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay. You know, you'll thank me when you don't. I listen to some of the other radio shows, and there's some other guests are smart people, but they're not smart DJs. They don't know to tell their callers, I mean the hosts, they don't know to tell the callers, hey, move your mouth close to the receiver. Don't you have a good phone? And you know what? You can barely hear the guys. They're so muffled. You don't want to be in the hands of someone like that, okay? Just be happy I'm making you operate to a high standard. Okay, Michael Heller, MichaelHeller, is the guest today. Mike, do you want to introduce yourself or should I do it?
You know what? Be my guest.
He's a headhunter of some sort. He seems to be a generalist. He works in Washington, D.C. He comes out of a big consulting company background. He seems to have been an IT recruiter at Booz Allen. I don't know if that's his most significant experience. And Booz Allen seems to be a company that services the public sector and the nonprofit sector, government and nonprofit agencies more than private enterprise. Is that a fair summary of who you are?
It's good. And, the only unfortunate thing, Animal, is that the Booz Allen experience is a little bit further back in my background. You know, I did have a lot of experience there, and that's where I cut my teeth. But I went on to work at a company called Dell Tech, and Dell Tech is a project management software company where I headed up global staffing for them. They had, at the time, about 1,400 or 1,500 employees, internationally based, and really they produced project management and time management software. And I think that's where the experience that I've gotten has elevated past just, the tactical, what I felt like was tactical recruiting. There's nothing wrong with tactical recruiting, but it's elevated my experience a little bit past that.
Okay, well, you know what? First of all, I just have to testify that, you know, there's a new phone line for me to call in at Blog Talk Radio today. And, you know, maybe you really are on a great line. It just sounds like you're going through some kind of mix master to me. I can barely understand what you're saying, but I did make out the general drift.
Wait,
you want to tell us?
I thought that what you said was to make sure I had auto-tune on. Should I take that off and so I don't sound like a rap star?
What is auto-tune?
That's
is that like
thing
music?
that's the thing that that all the young kids are playing these days on the music to make their voice sound electronic. Should
no,
I not
I don't
be
want
doing that?
Yeah, if you got that, how you sound to me, okay? But let's just move on. So you've already started a controversial issue. Transactional recruiting is not as good as what you do. What is it you do? Strategic recruiting?
So, again, I mentioned earlier.
No, don't give any excuses. Heard you loud and clear. We know the message. We've been around. You're better than us.
Is this guy in the transactional recruiting or not?
I love transactional recruiters. They helped me to get to where I am today. So,
what do you mean by that?
So strategic recruiting, I think, is a little bit differently. I feel like transactional recruiters, which is something that was very useful at Booz Allen.
Can I just interrupt? You people on Twitter, you tell me if you can hear the guy, okay? It's just while he's talking, just leave me some notes. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
And Jerry, pay attention, because I think that was a hit directly at you.
So
it was. I'm waiting. I'm taking notes here.
Okay, and again, I feel like I'm going to get skewered later, probably. So tactical recruiting, very important. The way I look at it is, here's your job requisition. Go find us the people. Make sure they fit everything that's listed in this job description. What I've realized from that, and this can help lots of recruiters, is that you need to go further than that. You need to find out what the hiring manager wants, and you need to tell your hiring managers or your clients, whatever you want to call them, that sometimes what you think you might want isn't really what you want. And here's an example. So, for example, you want to find somebody who is a Java developer or somebody who does a lot of work in the Microsoft suite, but they need to have 30 years of experience doing that, because that's what our end client, like at Booz Allen, that's what they're looking for. Okay, Mr. Hiring Manager, I'm going to go out and get that for you. Then, lo and behold, you start to realize that doesn't exist, because Java hasn't been around for 30 years, or whatever you're looking for hasn't been around that long. And by the way, if you're looking for something that doesn't exist because there's a miscommunication between experience and what you're willing to pay that person, you need to be able to express that to your hiring managers. Now, what I'm not going to do is insult the intelligence of anybody that I've got on the phone here or your guests. A lot of people know this already, so I'm not telling you anything that I think is new. But
hold on a second. Let me back up. Feel free to insult our intelligence. It's kind of a cornerstone of the show.
It was coming to me. I want to insult the people that are on the phone, just not your guests. I don't know them, and I probably would like them.
You're the guest. You're the guest.
Did I say
Jerry,
the wrong word? I meant listeners.
Yeah, listeners. There you go. Okay.
Okay.
Jerry, it's a Booz thing for them to insult us.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm suggesting is take yourself out of that role and think as if you were the hiring manager or your client. What do I really want to find out? And then start asking those questions. And that's what I mean by being a little bit more strategic. Start there. You know what? What's the work? You know, you've got the skill sets all listed out here, and I know exactly what you want. What's the work?
Okay, hold on a second. I let you talk. Okay, fine. You know, that's a phony use of those terms.
Yeah.
I'm
looking for his definition of a transactional recruiter that differs from what he just explained, which is a recruiter trying to figure out what's really going on.
Yeah.
So he can then have
Here's
a transaction.
Well,
You can't tell me you guys are surprised. No, you take the lead from me now.
Don't wreck the show.
You guys are surprised by the fact that some recruiters will go out there and find exactly what's listed on that piece of paper.
If they could go find a guy with 30 years of Java, hey, they
should. I love when there's a guest that pisses Jerry off.
What?
And if you're trying to find someone with 30 years of Java, your manager's asking for it, you're dealing with a stupid manager.
No question. But you know what? Are you okay with going to that manager and saying, hey, stupid, change your job?
Well, of course.
You are. Are all your listeners able to do that right now?
Yes.
I hope so, but I bet you they're not.
That doesn't make them a transactional recruiter and put us in this crowd of consultative, strategic, long-term, hand-holding partner.
Well, again,
I'm just saying, by virtue of knowing what you're doing, that doesn't make you any particular kind of better recruiter in the transactional versus partnership category.
It doesn't make you better or worse. Again, you guys are putting the better into my mouth. I didn't say that. You guys said it.
Okay, look.
What is the difference between transactional and recruiting?
There isn't one. That's what I'm trying to say, people.
Mike
yeah.
Keller. Mike
we already
Keller.
Blew him off the phone. He hung up.
Yeah.
No.
Just
I
give will, us
I
a story.
I promise to be on for the full hour.
Yeah, just give us a story now of how you approached some dummy hiring, typical dummy hiring manager when he or she gave you that kind of ridiculous order.
I spoke to them. I talked to them. I said,
No. Give me a real story. Didn't I tell you 100 times in email before the show? Come with a real story.
Okay, so listen, I'm happy to give a real story. One of my hiring managers came.
I just want my listeners to see how hard it is. You know, I have intelligent guests, but they just don't listen. Okay? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Maybe they don't respect you, Animal. Listening starts with respect, I believe.
Go ahead, Michael Heller. Tell the story.
Here we go. Manager comes to me, says, my client needs SharePoint developers. SharePoint is the new big thing in U.S. government agencies. We need to get SharePoint developers. It's awesome. Okay, great. We need to have, 5 years of experience developing in SharePoint. Okay, I think I can do that. This was about 6 months ago. I think I can do that. There are people who have done it for 5 years. There's probably people who have done it for 10. Excellent. Our rates can only pay $60,000 U.S. dollars a year. That doesn't exist. You can't hire a new college grad for much less than $60,000 a year. Went back to the hiring manager and I said, look, you're not going to be able to do this. Well, you need to try. I'll try, and I'll get my team to try. You're not going to be able to do this because this is not equivalent with the amount of experience and what you're looking for. You're going to need to pay them at least $90,000. Well, our client can't support that. Go back to your client and ask them for more money because they're not going to find it from anywhere. Well, I can't do that. I can't tell you how to do your job. You need to be able to do your job. This is a real story, Animal. So then we came back. We spun wheels. We had lots of candidates put in place. They were not meeting the requirements. I'm going to ask you why you think they didn't meet the requirements.
Now, I want to know
salary.
Why you didn't build a business case and show them a list of people doing that job that you based your proof on that, you know, they need more money.
Well,
they should do that at the beginning. At the beginning when you do the job intake. Do a sample search, show sample resumes, and do it at the beginning. Don't waste all that time.
You're absolutely right, and that's what we tried to do, but I tried to save them the time by saying to them, based on my experience, and trust me, now that's where I went wrong. Trust me, you're not going to be able to find this. Well, go try and find it anyway. Okay, let's spend, a good 3 or 4 days, a full business week, finding this person that doesn't exist, present those candidates while the manager's screaming at us, saying, hey, where are my candidates? I thought this was going to be easy.
No, no. What I mean is why don't you present a sample search and resumes the day after you have an intake call and save yourself a week's worth of aggravation.
Well, and that's the part that I'm talking about.
Hey Michael, for anybody east of California, an intake call is what we call a job order.
Understood.
Okay, go ahead. I just
Understood.
Throw that out there.
So, and
bam!
What happens is that sometimes hiring managers need to just move on to the next thing. Look, I believe that everybody on this call is experienced enough to have experienced that. They only hear what they want to hear. We try to be more collaborative with them. Sometimes it doesn't work. So we went out and we did that, and we came up with some candidates, and we said, here's a sample array of candidates. Okay, you need to find more. No. Stop right there, Mr. Hiring Manager. You're going to be finding more of the same. Don't spin your wheels. This is what I'm talking about in terms of being.
Now,
attacked.
Did this guy go over your head and complain that Michael Heller's just an obstruction? He's finding reasons not to find people rather than doing what I'm asking?
Of course. Until then, that person came to me. And at that time, my boss came to me and said, hey, what's the story here? Okay, here's all the candidates that were presented. Here's why they're not fitting in the job. He needs to go back and get more money from the client. Or he needs to take less profit from the client. So if you're putting the onus on him to be more profitable, tell him not to take stupid jobs.
Okay, so you had your manager back. Yeah, I think we're done with this one. We all got it. Now we know the meaning of transactional recruiter, but we don't define a transactional recruiter like that. I don't know. But let me move on. Okay, what about this question? Came up last week.
There's a guy named, for instance, Tim Strategy. He just left me a message on Twitter, but he had a tweet this morning. He said, "I'm speaking to transitioning Marines at Camp Pendleton about networking with a purpose." And his hashtag was rewarding, and he had a little smile after it. But last week, one of our new regular listeners, Daryl Daly, told us that he offered to give advice to someone he couldn't place. It took him a lot of time. It didn't make him feel good. He didn't think he was getting anywhere doing that. And then somebody else said, no, but that guy's going to give you referrals. What do you think about that? Do you give a lot of free time and sort of career counseling to people you can't place?
So it's not my typical strategy, no. However, what I will make an exception for in times are those transitioning military. And maybe it's because I have a soft spot in my heart. Maybe it's because, if in the 1940s we didn't win that war, we would all be speaking a different language. I may not even be here. So I do try to help transitioning military. And I have a story for that too, Animal. I was waiting to meet with someone, and there was someone sitting near me at an outdoor cafe in the fall. And I just started talking to the person. It turns out that here's a guy who transitioned out of the military. He's out of the military with a Purple Heart. As you can imagine, there's a lot of people around D.C. People will come back to D.C. for a couple of reasons. One, nation's capital here. Secondly, I think that we're relatively well insulated from economic spikes and valleys. And the reason is because of a lot of the government spending that takes place here.
Right. Go faster. We're dragging this show out too long. Go ahead.
Sorry. So I sat down and talked to him, and it turns out the guy is a technical trainer, doesn't have a degree. It's really hard for me and my business to place people that don't have degrees, but I want to try and help him. I haven't been able to help him yet, but I keep in touch with him. I talk to him probably every 3 weeks, every month or so, because I want him to be top of mind, so that I can reach out and help this guy.
How are you trying to help him? By finding him a job? Are you marketing him or what?
I am marketing him to some of my clients, but more importantly, I keep my eyes open whenever I talk to him. I poke around, and maybe I have access to job orders that he doesn't have access to or just doesn't know how to look at those things. And I've tried to help him with that as well.
Listen, I'm in a bit of a dilemma. I won't drag it out, but I went to a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and a guy asked me, we're sitting around afterwards, what do you do? And I told him, he says, can you find me a job? And I said, well, probably I can't, but I might be able to offer some advice or help you. And so I started talking to him. Turns out he's got a terrible case of dyslexia. He is functionally illiterate. I mean, he doesn't seem stupid. He seems like a normal guy, but he can't read. So all he can do is work on, some kind of cleaning tables. I think he used to work in a butcher shop. But in addition, he's on some benefits because of that. So he can't work a full-time job because then he would, just lose money from his benefits.
Right.
This guy keeps calling me to help him. What should I do?
I have a feeling you have no problems being upright and honest with folks.
Oh, just dump them, in other words. Is that what you're saying? I'll move on to my next question. I just got a feeling the show.
Animal, what is wrong with finding the guy a job, waiting tables or wiping down tables? We need people to do that.
Animal's saying is he could probably be more than that. Isn't that what you're saying?
What?
I want to move on.
Like the show's in the doldrums. I got to move on. I noticed on your website, or rather on your LinkedIn profile, I think you say, I've got over 15 or like over 18 years experience, and your partner says 15 years plus experience. Once you've got 15 years experience, is it important to let people know that you've got a few months over it by putting that plus in there, or 18 years plus in words? What's the point of that? Isn't that redundant or unnecessary?
You're trying to reel me in. That's kind of a stupid question. I don't mind telling you.
Why is that a stupid question? Tell me why.
So it's not quite 20 years, but it's more than 15. What do you want me to tell you, 17.5?
How about just saying 15 years? I don't care if you got 15 years and 3 months.
It's okay to say 15 plus or 20 plus. In my case, 26 and a half years plus.
I agree. Okay. And so, by the way, I know that there's going to be other criticisms about some of the verbiage I have in my LinkedIn site. That's fine. Bring it on. What I would tell you is that, you know what, 15 years plus, 17 years, 15 years, different strokes for different folks.
No, there's not. There's one right way and there's one wrong way, and yours is the wrong way.
This is the right way.
I got to speed up the show. Retained versus contingent. Which are you?
I do both. I don't pick either. The reason I do that is because, you know, I want to be able to differentiate myself. And if somebody can't pay a retainer fee, which is what I would prefer, I'll do contingent with my clients, no question.
What's the difference? I've never really noticed the difference.
Up front versus paying behind.
Yeah,
there's another piece. Wait, your clients have more buy-in when they're retained, especially if they're a new client that you've never worked with before. Now they're committed to you. You know what? I'm going to pay you some up front. Go find me my person.
Why should they be committed to you if they don't even know you? You've never worked with them before. I'm going to give you a specific problem. It might be of more interest to our audience than a general discussion. I did a job at the height of the recession for a company in Missouri. I never thought I'd ever work there, but I did. And they were looking for a technical marketing manager. It was really hard to find someone in the area. It's not a highly populated state with big cities. So we tried relocating someone from a nearby state. The real estate prices had dived. All the houses were worth less than what the people paid for them, so they didn't want to move. We finally found a guy in Ohio.
Yep.
They made him an offer. He said he's ready to go. At the last minute, he bailed out. If you were on a retained search and that happened to you, you can't find anybody for the job. Nobody wants to relocate. There's no one local. What would you do?
You know what? That's part of the downside. I recently had a client who, and this is a funny story. I had a client who paid a retainer, and the retainer was good for 3 months after the candidate started. The client, who I still hold on to, their work environment isn't great. It's crappy, unfortunately. The candidate left 3 months and 3 weeks after the agreement collapsed. He came back to me and said, hey, will you find this person for me for free? No, we have clear rules of engagement set out. And I say you go back to the client, you try to make it work, but you say, look, I'm trying to find this person for you, but one way, maybe here's an example, why don't you pay for the guy's house? And they're going to say, well, wait, we're not in the real estate business, unless they are. We're not in the real estate business. We can't pay for the guy's house. We can't, you know, pay for the guy's house and then hopefully sell it down the road. And I said, okay, well, if a company with lots of coffers and lots of money can't do that, you know, you can't really expect the individual candidate to do that either. I want to try and help you. Let's do a new retainer. Or maybe somebody else can be better off. We tried. We can't find it. Let's try something else. Not what your client wants to hear, but it's the truth.
Okay, so if somebody's like, I don't know if I understood that. If someone's like 1 day over guarantee, you won't give them a break. Is that what you're saying?
1 day is different than 3 weeks. So, yeah. But the agreement that you put in place is the agreement. And I know I'm being hard-ass about it, but the agreement is the agreement. Now, this was 3 weeks later,
uh-huh.
And he came back and said, you know what? I think you should give this to me for free. And I said to you, well, wait a second, Joe. What if it was 3 weeks before the agreement expired? And, you know, from our perspective, we get paid when the person...
Okay, so on a retained search, the situation, I'd like to hear what some other people have to say as well. If you're paid one-third up front, let's say that's, I don't know, $7,000 or something like that, or
sure.
$5,000, just to do the research, and you can't find anybody, and you come to your client and say, I cannot find someone for this position. You're in too remote an area at a bad economic time. Do you say, I have to resign the search and keep the money to pay for your research, the time put into research? Is that how it works?
Are you asking me, or you want other people to answer?
I'll ask you first and then see if anyone else has something.
Can I answer?
You want to answer, Jerry?
Just a thought. You shouldn't take a retainer if you have no idea whether you can put people in front of your customer or not. So you shouldn't take a retainer, then do the research, and go back to your customer 6 weeks later and say,
that's
wow.
How it works with the big consulting firms. They take the retainer to pay for the research. They don't know
right.
In advance.
Well, some
they're not paying you to research, man. They're honestly, paying you to get candidates to interview.
Right. I'm not a big fan of big retained search firms. I like the boutique ones because, again, they have a little bit more leeway. I would hope that I'd go to a client and before I took that retainer, have enough integrity to say, you know what, I can't help you with this. Let me try to refer you to somebody who can.
No, but you don't know that you can't help them until you, I mean, look at the case I gave you. We actually found somebody, but it just didn't work out. I mean, and I couldn't say, you know what, I can replace that guy. I can find him because it just wasn't the right market.
Well,
so
the question is, give the
money back or don't take it in the first place.
Well, so
or keep it.
That's another reason why retainers are paid out in increments. You know, I think that you did the work. You deserve to be paid for the work that you've done already. Now, if you didn't ultimately find the person or place the person, you found the person, you didn't place them, well, then you know, honestly, don't take that last installment. But in the meantime, if they ask for the rest of their money back, I think there's a pretty solid argument for you to say, you know what, we did the research. We found the candidate.
And how's that going to be for your brand? You think that word will get out, you cannot trust this guy?
Sometimes you got to do what's right for your business. I mean, you're right. You bring up a point and you run that risk. You know, with this client that I told you about, he wound up giving us two searches afterwards. It didn't impact my ability. It didn't impact my relationship with him.
Okay. Now I'm going to tell everybody about Chris Russell, my good friend, Chris Russell, at Chris Russell on Twitter. He's got something called Recruiting News Feeds. And you can go to recruitingnewsfeed.info. Recruitingnewsfeed.info.
I just saw that advertised the other day somewhere.
No, did you? Anyway, you can go there and you get a free app for your iPhone, and
ooh,
that will bring in all the top recruiting sites with all the top recruiting shows, including the Recruiting Animal Show, right to your iPhone. You can listen to me there in public.
Unless
no one will know.
Action, because your iPhone is worse than a landline.
Anyway, recruitingnewsfeed.info. Now, he's got two different apps on that site. The other one's called Hidden Jobs. That costs 99 cents. So don't buy that one and then complain to me that it cost you a buck, okay? Because the one I'm telling you about is free. Okay. Now, is Rebecca on this call, Rebecca Sargent?
I am, Animal. How are you?
You want to advertise something as well?
I released a manual, a recruiting manual, and we're putting on a 3-day rookie training in March 18th, 19th, and 20th. So if you want more information, tweet me or email me at rsargent@rbs.
Isn't there a website they can go to that you can, you know, I had to buy this recruitingnewsfeed.info. I bought it myself so I could advertise Chris Russell properly. I mean, is that value add or what? Don't you have one? Do I have to buy one for you too?
No, I've got one. It's at it's rbs-staffing.com.
rbs-staffing.com.
You gotta get rid of that.
I know. The hyphen works for me though.
Okay, now Mike, thank you, Rebecca. Mike,
thanks.
Are you a recruiter or are you really an HR company that does some recruiting in addition to other services?
Yeah,
I think I'm a recruiter that does HR services as well.
Okay. Now, we had a big discussion that because that there's a lot of companies are hiring actual headhunters and bringing them in-house, that especially the big retained search firms are losing considerable amounts of business, especially in places like Washington. So they're offering a lot of sort of HR or recruiting-related services like leadership coaching and assessment and things like that to you know, build up their revenues that they're losing in recruiting. Do you find it's necessary to have these other sources of revenue in addition to recruiting? Do you feel recruiting is, you know, going down?
I don't know that recruiting is going down, but I think that a lot of companies are being more judicious in choosing who and how they work with. An example, I have a client who needed people very, very badly and needed a pipeline of people. And I told him what our typical fees were, and he said, well, okay, that's part of the problem. We can't pay those fees. Okay, I'm not going to walk away from that because I really want to work with this client because they need to double in size in the next year, year and a half. So what I tried to do was come up with something a little bit different. And I said, you know what, Mr. Client, let me deconstruct the recruiting process for you, and why don't we just provide sourcing services instead of the full life cycle of services? We'll just source you candidates, filter them over to you, and then what you do with them is your business. You can put them into your pipeline. You can call them directly. But what we're going to do is we're going to pitch the, your company to them a little bit, find out a very high level of information, and make sure that they meet a couple of check boxes.
What are you charging for that?
We're charging $40 an hour to do that.
That's all?
That's it.
And
now,
how are you sourcing those people? Just by doing searches online, like LinkedIn?
Mostly searches online. I don't want to give away the whole part.
No, you don't have to give away all your secrets. But I mean, for $40 an hour, you don't want to go crazy. I mean, it's a really dig up the right candidate. It's just like doing a regular search. You're just not closing it.
We're not closing it, which is a big deal. And we're also not doing a full pitch on the company, a full pitch for the candidate.
Find a candidate, here's a good question. Once you source the right candidate and you make a presentation of the job,
yep.
and the person says, you know, that sounds like something that matches me, and you're not going to send the guy into the pipeline of the client unless there is a reasonable match. I mean, you've pretty well done the search. I mean, isn't that 90% of the search?
So what we've done, too, and again, you're going to yell at me for omitting this, but if they hire the candidate, we get a back-end bonus.
Like of $10,000?
Something like that. Something like that.
How could he tell us that, 40? Yeah, I won't yell, but I mean, it's just a joke. How could you give us that figure of $40 an hour without telling us the rest of the story? Shame on you.
I told you you were going to yell at me. So it's a little more complicated than that. There are specific tiers that are put in. And again,
it sounds a little slimy. I don't know.
Whoa. Slimy?
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. For sourcing for a company, $40 an hour?
No, the back end part.
They suggested that.
What back end part? I missed that. I was typing a letter to a customer.
He said that at the back end, if they hire one of his candidates, he gets a $10,000 payback.
Well, wait. I said something like that. It's not $10,000. It's a tiered approach. That's the first thing. The second thing that you want to remember is that the client suggested that. They suggested that I originally wanted to charge a little bit higher in terms of the dollar per hour. They said no. And the other thing that I said, and again, I hear you, that it sounds like it might be a little slimy. It's not indefinite. They're, you know, if they hire that candidate within the first 6 months of us putting them into the pipeline, that's when we get that back-end fee.
I'm working on a similar
thing. I don't like it.
I'm not expecting a back-end fee, and I get my hourly rate, and I'm thrilled that I can identify the talent. I don't know. That's it. Never mind.
Kelly Block Dyke, I don't know how she can go around with that Dutch spelling. It's unbelievable. She's Talent Talks. Talent Talks is saying she's not sure if she should waste her iPhone battery on this recruiting animal show. We're not hitting the spot. I feel we got a good guest, and we all know enough to discuss things in depth to, you know, make it interesting, but somehow it's just not hitting the target, and I'm wondering, where am I going wrong? Do you have a juicy story that I haven't drawn on or something, Mike? Because you're a good speaker. Now, I know for me, I'm obviously hearing the show differently than other people. Everybody sounds garbled now, but I'm assuming that's not anybody else's problem. So, Mike, if you had to say something that would really say, you know, excite everybody out there in Radio Land, what story or idea would you like to share right now?
Well, first of all, let me apologize to Kelly because I'm, you know, I wish I could be more exciting. Let me try. You know, one of the things that I think that we sometimes talk about, but really have a hard time getting.
Who's doing that?
What do you mean?
Typing
on the keyboard. It's rude.
Oh.
You know, by the way, that typist, everybody can hear you. Your line is very good. About 9 people have told me on Twitter
already.
Yeah,
you should be the guest.
You're coming through loud and clear. But I think I know who that is.
Maybe she should just do Morse code.
There you go.
Okay.
Morse code interview.
I think it might be a famous telephone sorcerer. But, like, before the show dies, Mike,
let me talk a little bit about something that I've heard from a lot of my clients, and whether they were hiring managers. There's a trend happening that I'm seeing is that we are supposedly, the media is telling us, we're supposedly in a recession. Recruiters aren't feeling that, though. I think that our hiring managers say, we're in a recession, there must be awesome candidates out there, go find me these 10-star candidates. And sometimes we're presenting candidates that are very, very good, but have run into bad luck. So they're either unemployed or they're overqualified. So one of the things that I think we should be doing is figuring out how to get these good candidates who might be unemployed or overqualified to hiring managers. But it's hard for us because now we have to convince our hiring managers to hire these people. Quite frankly, if they had a job, they would still be the same candidate. What happens when they've been laid off or their company has tanked? Have they all of a sudden turned into a serial killer? I don't think so. I think that these people are just as good. As a matter of fact, I've given presentations on here's how to present the overqualified candidate to your hiring manager. One is, you know, you need to treat them a little
bit. I thought you were going to present the unemployed candidate because I've read articles that there really are policies in place not to hire unemployed people because the assumption is if they're unemployed, it's because they were the lowest ranked people in their field. And when the company had a layoff, that's the person they laid off. And they kept the good people.
Well, companies rarely lay off their best guy.
So I know
Enron.
Fact that there are companies out there that have gone through that initial round of cutting where they've trimmed the fat. And now they're trimming muscle and bone. And that muscle and bone are because, look, we need to make strong financial decisions. It's not based on the person's performance. There's a great corporate trainer right now who's on the market who's going to get snapped up in a second, but it was because her company couldn't keep her because they aren't doing the right things to sell their products to their clients. This person's going to find a job in a second. They shouldn't have let her go. So whether they're unemployed now, some of these unemployed people become overqualified because they are saying to themselves, I've done the CFO work, for example. But you know what? They need an accounts receivable manager. So I'm going to apply for that because I could do that job in my sleep. Or, you know what? This is going to give me a better lifestyle than I had before when I was the CFO. I don't have all the responsibility. I'm going to be able to spend more time with my kids. Get to know the story, people. Get to know what's
okay,
driving.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, let me take you back to the advice I gave you. Before you make a nice long speech and put everybody to sleep, okay? Do you have a story where you've actually talked to a hiring manager, just like the other one you told us, and they say, no, this guy's been a CFO. I don't want to hire him for this director position. And you sold the hiring manager on an overqualified candidate. Do you have a real story?
Animal?
Blow by blow.
Of course I do. So
good
here's
for you.
Here's the story. There was a... I wouldn't call him a CIO, but he was certainly an aspiring...
Why do I have to beg? I'm sorry, everybody. I just have to wonder. Why do I have to beg, okay?
Animal, you do this a lot more frequently than I do, but let me get into my story. So CIO, aspiring CIO, but he was more of like a director, IT director in an organization, came to us in a company that I was working with and applied for a job where he would be the IT manager at this company. They look at his title. My hiring manager looked at his title only and said, I don't think this person's going to be right fit for the job. And I said, why? Well, because they're overqualified. What does that mean? Well, it's because, you know, they're going to get bored of doing this and they're probably going to leave soon.
What was the title?
The title that he had was he was director of IT.
Okay, and what was the job?
The job was an IT manager. It wasn't that different.
Oh,
by the
gee.
Way,
it
could mean anything.
That's ridiculous.
I agree. So I said, what's the real story here? So we talked for a few minutes, and it turns out he didn't really admit this, but he sort of danced around it. I don't want him taking my job. Okay, look, as the highest level IT person in the company, he's not going to take your job. You're going to look better for having hired him. And by the way, I haven't spoken to this person yet. Let me talk to him. Let's see what he wants to do. It turns out the person was laid off, no question about it. He wasn't the dregs of his company. He was the muscle and part of the bone. And he realized at that point he had been spending so much time at his job that he was neglecting his family and his kids. He wanted to spend more time with his family and his kids. So therefore, hey, let's see what this job is all about. He came. I positioned this to the hiring manager. He came in and interviewed. He was a great fit. And for all I know, I think he's still there. He's been at the company for about 8 months at this point.
Okay. Would they come in? Would somebody see someone like that? This guy doesn't want to work very many hours. You know what? I can't count on him. Is that a question that came up?
It did. But the fact of the matter is, you come in, you interview, and at that point in time, you're saying, no, I'm willing to put in the hours. As a matter of fact, I'll be able to do more than what you're looking for the
okay,
for the
another question. Let me, and I just want to speed it up. Okay, so what about if you're hiring manager? First of all, are hiring managers generally very stupid people? I mean, it sounds like it, right? This guy just looks at a title, rules a candidate out. You have to beg him to see the guy. It's like talking to an ignorant king who inherited his position, didn't get through merit. Oh, Your Highness, please, take a look at this. And then the other thing is, but answer that question first. Go ahead.
So are hiring managers generally stupid? No,
yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
They're smart about what they know. Hey, look, don't ask me to be the CFO of a company. I won't be able to do it. I know what I know, and I know what I'm good at. So hiring managers are oftentimes good at what they're good at. Are they sometimes stupid? Yes. But you know what? So am I. I'm sometimes stupid too. So I don't think they're generally stupid. I think that part of the reason that we have our jobs is because we know better than they do how to do our jobs.
So we shouldn't be afraid to stand up to them. And when it comes, your guy sounds reasonable in the end, you were able to persuade him or her. So what if, you know, you're really there, they won't give in? Is that when you fire your client? What do you say to them if so?
It's situational, animal. You know, I don't like to fire clients. I have done it. But, yeah, I mean, if you say to the client, in all honesty, I don't know that I can help you. I'm not trying to strong-arm you, but I don't know that I can help you because this candidate is perfect for what you're looking for. But you don't want to take a risk because you're afraid the person's going to take your job, then you don't need a manager. You need an IT individual, an individual contributor.
Yeah, I mean, if I break my neck trying to find somebody, well, thanks for your hold music, whoever it is, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Enough. You know, I'm going to have to go through everything.
You want me to take
it a minute?
I love it.
What?
You want me to take over right now, animal?
Take over. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, leave the music, though.
I want to know who that
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
I want to download that from iTunes.
Yeah, who was that, animal?
I don't know.
Who did it?
I don't know.
Hey,
you know
I might need a stand-in for the after show today. Is anybody available? No.
Mike Esslinger gone already?
Everybody's
no.
dropping off, man. It's
well,
it's an okay show. It's an okay show, but it's just flat. I mean, there's nothing new, nothing controversial, nothing shocking. It's just kind of middle of the road, white bread stuff here.
This guy says, here, I didn't get this. This was actually my first questions, and I just skipped them. He says that, you know, he said hiring the right talent means more than just matching skills on a resume with a job description. We will help develop your recruiting strategy, which starts by understanding your company's vision, mission, and goals, as well as your culture.
Oh, culture, too. Okay.
Yeah. We will define the ideal candidate beyond what's on the surface, resulting in smarter and more sustainable hiring decisions. You know, Pillar One, that's his company. Pillar One's expertise includes candidate identification and outreach strategy, organizational assessment and job mapping,
what?
Culture assessment. Okay. Oh, yeah,
well, what's an outreach? What's an outreach strategy? Is
yeah,
that kind of like recruiting but not transactional?
But he calls himself a subject matter expert in complex recruitment.
Sure, you made me laugh. Oh, my God.
What are these things? That's what I... You know, that's what I'm wondering. I mean,
yeah, break it down. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, like what does culture assessment have to do with, you know, recruiting? I guess I'm a transactional recruiter.
can I back up a second and say that some of those complex recruiting strategies, I said it earlier that I don't want to insult the intelligence of your listeners. They're going to know what those are already. It's the hiring managers who aren't as skilled in what they're doing that may
what
not.
What is it? That means using searching, you know, GitHub as well as LinkedIn? And what's a complex strategy?
Yeah.
So I think the complex strategy involves not just finding the candidate that fits those bullet points on the job description, but understanding what the culture is inside the organization, getting a sense for what the feel of not just the organization is, what are their, you know, core competencies, what are their values, but also what's the fit that you get within the management team that's going to be working with this candidate.
Do you meet personally with each of your customers on multiple occasions before you even begin the search?
I do.
Okay.
So, and I think that's important. Again, one of the things that I think, and maybe this is just me, but recruiting is an art and a skill, but it's not necessarily rocket science. And I believe that we as recruiters need to differentiate ourselves from in-house recruiters as well as each other. And one of the things that I try to do, and again, you're going to push back on me on this, is I try to build that relationship with my client so that they know that this is what I'm going after. I'm not just going after the folks that are going to get you where you need to be. I'll give you an example. You want a real story. I have a client right now that needed to fire their HR director because she was doing inappropriate things.
Like what?
Sex.
Stealing.
Stealing?
Yes. I can't
talk. Okay, move on. Get to it.
Okay. So they needed an interim HR director, but they also wanted us to do a search for a full-time HR director.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I brought an interim HR director. My client says to me, and I told him he can talk about anything he wants behind closed doors. He says, she's a little older than I would have expected. And I said, you know what? You can talk to me about whatever you want. Never say that outside of what we just talked about. She's exactly what you need. You need this mess cleaned up. She can clean it up. If she's not your full-time HR director, we'll find you somebody else. I've got plenty of it in my network. But she's exactly what you need right now. And this is a first-time client, by the way. And he said, okay, we'll try her out for a little bit. After 2 days, she said, okay, can we hire her before your three-month engagement term is over? Because she's exactly what we need. So that's what I mean. Unless you sit down and meet with the client.
So you got them to hire some old hag, and that's your success story?
No. This is a success story in convincing a client that they maybe need something they don't even think they need.
Okay.
You know what? By coincidence, we had a specialist a couple of weeks ago who specializes in – a recruiter who specializes in interim managers.
Interim.
And she told us quite clearly that the best ones are over 50 years old. So that's a coincidence.
What was her name again? Would you remind the listeners of her –
Cameron Jeffery.
Huh.
Cameron Jeffery.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. You know, you've got a blog on your website – with one entry from January 30th to 12th. Isn't it embarrassing just to leave it up there? This is our first entry and have no others after it for a year? I mean, why did you do that?
It was a mistake. It is a mistake.
Take it down.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Do not attack this man for doing what we have all done and are all guilty of. What's your latest blog date, Animal?
This morning.
It's not. Then you went through and refreshed them all. You're not fooling me, man.
You're right. You're right. And there are a lot of people who have said the same thing to me.
So you had a year to change it or 6 months to realize it's awful.
Well, I think nobody really knows the right amount of time between blogs is what you should have.
I got my new business idea right here. Blog fluffing.
You're hired.
I'm serious.
Okay.
I'm not
going to
say any more about it. Wait for the white paper.
That's the term, big turn off for my audience. How do you approach people, by email or on the phone?
It's situational, Animal. I try to do both. In most cases, I'm going to try and pick up the phone. I think as I demonstrated, I'm more of a relationship type of person. I want to pick up the phone. I want to get to know that candidate over the phone. And then I try to meet with them in person if I can. That's not always the best way to do it. So in some cases, I'll reach out initially through email and try and make my message compelling.
You're working primarily locally then? You don't work with people in Missouri or Iowa or anything like that? Is that right?
I think it's mostly – most of my clients are East Coast, so they range from like Boston to
– So you'll travel up to Boston to meet someone or will you force them to come down and see you?
I'll force them to come down and see me.
You're kidding.
No. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes I'm not able to meet with them.
What about a Skype interview? Will you do
that? Absolutely. That's fair game as well.
Okay.
You know,
so you're
but,
a generalist, am I right?
Again, heavy towards recruiting, but yeah, I'll do more than just recruiting.
No. But in recruiting, this is a question I should have brought up earlier. I have to accept, you know, you sound like someone who's smart and you speak fairly well. I'm just not leading the show into the right direction, and I haven't got a lot of support from the people in the audience today, the callers.
Animal, I just never sensed you were really committed to this thing from the beginning, and I didn't want to say it, but
you know what?
It's hard to me
when everybody sounds
you
like
didn't care about this show.
I care.
You started off
half-assed.
Some Pakistani guy sent you
a
LinkedIn invitation.
A lot of your complaints, when I hear you complain, is about, hey, how come the guests aren't on their landline?
Yep.
Who cares about that? How come the guests, you know, haven't prepared? Here's a guy who's prepared.
Dude,
the
landline deal is what blew it out. We had to wait. We had to segue. It was awkward.
Okay.
You lost people.
And the other thing I might add is, you know, I'd love to – this is a great show. I've never listened to it before you and I had that initial Twitter exchange.
But you were feisty on Twitter. You're not feisty here. You're smooth.
Keyboard
tough
guy, man. Everybody knows about that stuff.
Wait,
keyboard tough guy.
I haven't been feisty. I've disagreed with you, and I'm going to disagree now. You know what? We're having good banter. This is good dialogue. I'm going to listen to your show. Week after week.
I don't need the promises. You sound like you're a nice dad reading me a bedtime story. That's not what I want. You know, I'm a little rambunctious kid, and you have to tell me how it is. Oh, yeah, those hiring managers, they're not all smart. But you know what? They're not so bad either. That's not what I want you to say. I want you to say they're idiots, and you have to stand up to them, because that's obviously what you do. Okay, let me see. What should we do for the last thing? Our last topic. Is there something, a burning thing that you didn't tell us that you wanted to discuss because you told me you prepared?
Okay, fine. There's one thing that I give advice to everybody, especially when they're interviewing. A couple of people on Twitter have said to me, I'm unemployed, I'm not a bad person, help me get back to work. This guy, Rob McGahan, it's Rob, or R.M., C-G-A-H-E-N on Twitter. If you have a job,
I see. He follows me. I know him.
Okay.
So,
what's he do? What's he do? What's his background?
The advice that I give everybody, and here comes the dad again, Animal, is, you know what? We've got two ears and one mouth. Stop talking. Start listening. Whether you're talking to your hiring managers, your clients, your candidates, or you're on a job interview, let's all listen more. Let's all try to get that. I'm not trying to.
You know, everything you've told us today goes in the opposite direction. You've got these blockheads, you know, as hiring managers, not because they're stupid, but because they don't have any experience in the job. Their expertise is elsewhere. So you're dealing with them, and what your key offering is that you've told us is to push back, and tell them what they really need, and, you know, to stop misleading you so you can actually help them. Not listening. Listening is not the key. Talking is the key.
They need to listen. They're not. They're stupid about what they don't know. People don't know what they don't know.
Okay. Is there anything else? Oh, let me see. The 905 just called in. Does anybody want to ask a question to my good friend, my good new friend, Michael Heller, before we move on to, I guess, a very brief after show? Anything else for Mike? Anything for Mike?
No.
Michael Heller, thank you!
Okay, for the sake of brevity, I'm going to go ahead and give the show, both of them, a 75. I'm not going to ask anybody for their scores because they don't deserve more than 75 or anything less. It was flat.
There's a bunch of people here, Jerry.
Flat.
You better ask them for their scores. Okay, do your job for 5 minutes.
All right, let's do this. Who has a score? Just lay it on me. Lay it on me. Anybody? See, Animal, you're wrong, dude. There's nobody here. It's me,
Jerry.
Alone.
How are you?
Good. Who's this?
It's Rebecca.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'll give Animal an 80 and the guest a 65.
Wow.
He's just way too slippery.
Yes, he's slimy, ditto.
Hold it, hold it. No, we're not going with slimy.
I said slippery.
I may allow slippery, but not slimy. Well, why do you say the guy's slippery? I mean, how exciting is recruiting? How exciting is it to just talk about this when there's nothing controversial? The dude's a recruiter, trying to make his way, trying to somehow appear to be different than some dude who will get a couple resumes on your desk and hope like hell that you hire one of them.
Well, okay, so let's go back to the beginning of the show. Transactional versus strategic. Did he ever answer the question, or did he give us...
No, strategic means when you tell your client, oh, I can't do that. That's strategic, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, that salary seems a bit low, Mr. Manager.
Mm-hmm.
Strategic.
Yeah.
You're going to have to relocate somebody.
No, but he waits a week before he tells them that.
I am immediately of the impression that you need to come back to your customer with data, facts, and make marketplace data.
You can have that marketplace, and you and I both know this. You can have that marketplace data in 5 minutes.
No.
Yep.
No.
Oh no.
Yes, you can. You should have it at the...
Hold on a second. You might already have it. You don't need to share it until the next or the following day.
Okay, I'll give you a day, but a week is way too long.
And
right?
And sometimes these people, he may have said a week, he meant a couple days. Kathy cornered him clearly. She had a vendetta against this guy. They must have some past history. I don't know.
I don't know him.
I've
never met him in my life. I've never heard of him.
But we had, a couple months ago, had one of my recruiters working on a job for a DBA in Cleveland. And my recruiter kept bringing me resume after resume of $110,000 DBAs. The customer wanted to pay $85,000. And he kept wanting me to get back in touch with the client to say, hey, you're not going to be able to hire somebody for $85,000. I know it. And I said, well, yeah, I believe they should be able to find a DBA for $85,000. Well, after submitting, three or four DBAs at $110,000, which the customer spoke to them, and they said, yeah, we just really can't pay that much money. Eventually, they hired, through us, of course, a DBA for $85,000. So sometimes, even though it might seem a bit unrealistic, you got to just keep, either you want to recruit on it or you don't. We don't get paid to tell people customers what we can't do, why we're wrong. If somebody calls me for a pizza, I'm not going to say, well, hold on a second. What you really want is a hoagie sandwich.
Understandable. Then charge a retainer or don't work on the order, right? You're right.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, some stuff you got to just pass up. You're like, wow, man, I can't.
But setting
up, I can't create people for you to hire. All I can do is try to find what you're looking for. But see, the thing is, we're hung up on some stupid-ass obvious example. SharePoint administrator developer for $60,000. We all know those people make $100 an hour. So, or the 30-year Java developer. So he gave a couple examples of absurdity where he is then able to be a consultant, an advisor, and long-term strategic partner. But how about the company that needs to hire the $85,000 DBA when it seems like everybody's already making $92,000 and wants $98,000? Well, do you tell the customer, oh, that's never going to happen? Or do you try to make it happen and keep working with them along the way?
You make it happen.
And you set an expectation that it's not going to happen overnight. It's going
right.
It's going to take, when the person finally surfaces.
Right.
It's, again, you want to hire the person today or you want to hire them in
mm-hmm.
6 weeks. And what's the pain of waiting 6 weeks?
I find most of my clients don't necessarily need to hire someone today.
Okay.
I think it's usually recruiters thinking that they would love a client that had to hire somebody today.
They're
in reality,
fees, right?
What?
they're looking to make sure that they have their fees booked in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kathy, even though you say you have no prior history with this guy, I'm sure your scores are going to reflect some kind of hatchet that never was buried. So, go ahead.
I don't know him. I honestly don't. I give him a 60 in terms of content.
A 60?
A 60, and I think he's not as experienced as he claims to be. And I give Animal an 85.
Really? I thought Animal was flat. I'm giving him a 75.
Oh, but he's had the stomach flu. He's been barfing, quote unquote. So, you know,
A true professional will just blow right through that.
Well, he did.
Yeah. 85, though? Huh.
Yeah, I would. I didn't like the guest. I thought it was very elementary. I thought he was. I didn't think he was very creative. I don't think that he probably picks up the phone and makes 100 calls a day.
Who does, though, Kathy? Come on. Can we all stop saying that we call 100 people a day? Stop the lies.
I'm working on a project now where I have to do that. I don't ordinarily do that. But
you're making sourcing calls, okay? You're not making recruiting calls.
They're recruiting calls. They're sourcing, but they're also recruiting for the client.
Okay, but it may be a rare. I'll have a day where I'll call a shitload of people.
It's rare for me, but I'm doing it.
Okay. If you say, then I guess we'll have to believe you. Anybody else have a score here? Anybody? See, Animal, you lied to me. There weren't thousands of people wanting to put their scores in here.
They're
me, Kathy, and Rebecca, which I appreciate.
But I'll tell you something. I noticed this is a very lively show you three are having right now. How come you didn't speak up during the show? That's what I don't understand.
Because the attitude wasn't there. The atmosphere wasn't there. It was just more or less one boring-ass guy talking to another boring dude.
What I was trying to say was that, you know, he can find these people if he will just put in the time. I think that he was lazy. I mean, you can find these people. They do exist.
There's a group of recruiters out here that think it's their duty to tell the customers what's not going to happen. I told one of my recruiters earlier today, he's talking to me about, well, hey, blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, I don't get paid to tell customers what's not going to happen.
Right. You make it happen.
You make it happen. Now, I wouldn't, of course, no manager would ever expect 30 years of Java background. So that was a fake story. Or the SharePoint person. I think that was fake. Maybe I'm thinking he was.
I think he was fake. I'm sorry.
What was that?
I don't know.
That was weird. Is there somebody else on the line?
I think there are a lot of people, but they're just not talking. I don't know.
Who else is on the line? People?
I thought Alan was there. Didn't I see Alan on Twitter? Alan, are you there?
He must have had an important meeting.
Well, Jerry, you know, you can pack it up now, but you had people, you had a good show in you. This is one of your best after shows.
Really?
Not that I agree with everything, but you gave a long harangue about your ideas. These two ladies gave theirs, and they were very interesting.
Okay.
So again, not that anyone has to agree with them. And so I thought it was pretty interesting.
I'm surprised that the two ladies gave you an 80 and an 85. I think you were flat.
Star power, I agree with you, Jer. Sorry. You know, 75 is generous. Thank you.
There you go. See, sometimes you got to just be a professional and take emotion out of it and give the guy the score he deserves. 70.
I do.
70.
Very low scores.
Kathy, the world wants to know, are you engaged yet?
I am engaged. And in fact, he asked me what date I wanted, and I told him to do it.
So do you have a date?
No.
Okay, then you're not engaged, hon.
You just have a wedding ring.
You know what? And we're also not together anymore. He's back east.
What?
Oh, wait, if you have a ring, you're engaged.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Sure you are. Sure you are.
You don't ever have to have a date. You can now you are engaged.
Engaged means that you have a ring and a date.
Well,
that's what engaged means. Engaged to be married on.
See, this is where I think you guys are missing it. A woman will stay engaged forever.
Well, then it allows her the freedom to be a shack up, honey. And not be mentally bound by it, which is cool. I like it.
He's not living here right now.
I thought you guys lived together.
No, he's become a judge, so he's in D.C. now.
Really?
Yes.
So are you kind of then more of a kept woman?
No, we bought a house in Denver, too, so we have two homes. And
wow.
So he's in Denver.
Well, then you don't really even need to get married. Don't worry about it. Enjoy the rock on your finger.
You know, it won't fit on my finger. That's the problem. It was made too small, so now I have, like, these blisters on my finger, and I can't wear it. So I guess I'm not really engaged.
I hate to keep bringing that up, but I'll probably bring it up next week to see if you have a date.
No, I don't mind.
I'm just enthused for you.
It's just kind of funny. I mean, he invested, like, more than $30,000 into this ring, so I think I'm officially engaged.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Thanks.
So if it would only been like $5,000 or $6,000, would you have not been engaged?
Well, I mean, he could get out of it a lot easier.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies, it's been a treat. I got to get back to work.
Thank you.
And I guess that's about it. Bye, Kathy. Bye, Rebecca.
Great.
See you, Animal.
Bye.
Bye.
If I'm a candidate and I have information about the labor market, ideally, if I shared it with everyone, and the more information we all have, the more efficient the actual market is, but the less advantage I have. If I know a job that I'm not quite qualified for, but I give it to somebody else.
Wow.
Wow.
Great.
What did we learn from that show, people? What did we learn?
No,
the number one from the most intelligent and even-minded people in our space.